Welcome to our episode 2 of Emoji Chat. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you, Santra,
for accompanying me again.
You're welcome.
As we mentioned in the previous episode, we're going to have a bit of a structure on the content. So today we want to introduce the topic that we're going to discuss today, and that is loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I guess what the World Health Organization says is that it's actually a pandemic. So it affects a lot of people globally. And we'll talk about a few facts on that as well that we found recently. But the reason, I guess you can share the reason, but the reason why we've been thinking about sharing mm-hmm. about loneliness is because we read this article about loneliness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was quite impressive. It was talking about how many people feel lonely, and then the youth is the one that feels the most, yeah. And we have dealt with feeling lonely and loneliness for a lot of years, because we were talking about that, no? There are some situations that can happen to you or to your family that makes you feel like you are separate from the rest, no? In our case was the diagnosis of our children. They both got autism, and for us, it was like, okay, there's the rest of the world, and then us, because our situation is so different from other families. So
we'll delve into that a little later.
Yeah,
into the
but
details.
Because we have felt that way, and it was for a few years. When we read the article, we thought maybe we can talk about this
because yeah, it's
we
the
can
core.
Share. Yeah. We can share a few points, even for us to remember what it felt like and how we can deal with it. Because it still happens for us.
Yeah, of course.
Not the same, because we have learned a lot, but still happens. So it's a good way to remember and refresh those tools that we know that we can still use.
Most definitely. So we want to start with a quote, okay? Quote of the day, as we promised. So this one is from Carl Jung, who is probably one of the most famous psychologists of all time. And Jung said that loneliness does not come from having no people around, but from being unable to communicate the things that seem important to oneself, or from holding certain views which others find inadmissible.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's your quote for today. And it also helps to introduce the actual topic. Because I want to ask you, Sandra, what do you consider that loneliness is? What is loneliness for Sandra?
I think it's a feeling, because it can happen. Maybe the situation I can let you do that. But it's something that is in ourselves. So I think it can be either a feeling, or you can get to a point where it's like a mental state where you feel lonely, or you just think that's the way it is. You're lonely and there is nothing you can do. So I will say something about that. And the feeling of being alone, I think it comes from not connecting with other people, feeling disconnected.
Okay. I think my definition of loneliness is quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think loneliness for me is more on the state of mind part of the definition, right? So I think it's something that, in a sense, is voluntary. It sounds harsh, right? But in a sense, for me, loneliness is a state of mind that we kind of choose to be, in a sense. And we'll talk more about what that means in a minute. But that's what the topic of today is, and now we are on the same page of what loneliness means for us when we talk about loneliness. But I want to share with you guys what psychology says about loneliness. So what is the definition of loneliness? And I love how the European Science Hub defines this, because I found several, and there's the Webster definition, then the Oxford Dictionary definition, and then Wikipedia, you can find stuff, and also from different psychologists, organizations. But I really liked the way that the European scientists have defined it, especially because we will talk also about this, the types of loneliness that one can experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to define it, then go back to the article that we read originally and talk about how important loneliness is and some of those topics. So it says that loneliness is not the same as being alone. It says, while loneliness is associated with social isolation, the two terms are not interchangeable. Okay? So while different definitions of loneliness exist, it is most commonly defined as a negative subjective experience of low quality and or quantity of one's social network.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite interesting, because you would never think that you know, when you're thinking on loneliness, you're thinking of quantities, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're counting, you know, oh, I got so many people around me. And this is the first thing where your mind goes,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm alone because nobody is around me.
Mm-hmm.
But it also talks about the quality of those relationships. And
mm-hmm.
we'll talk more about that. But I think we wanted to impress how important the topic of loneliness is nowadays. So there is a couple of articles, and we were reading, Sandra and I were reading this article and sharing with each other some thoughts, and then we kind of deep dived a little more into the topic and discover that it's quite a big issue worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And we read this article, and it was originally about a demographic study in Spain. And it says that in Spain alone, it was talking about the cost of loneliness in the healthcare system. And it says that either directly or indirectly, it costs the Spanish government or the country, it costs the country more than 14 billion euros a year.
And that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Because Spain is not that big.
That's 1.2% of the GDP of Spain or something like that. It's,
yeah.
it's a little over 1% of the GDP
yeah.
that we spend on related issues of loneliness, or issues related to loneliness in
yeah.
a sense, whether there are psychological or physical or biological.
Mm-hmm. So that's huge, because we are like around
47 million,
and that's a lot. That's a lot of money. But we were talking about how many people are affected by this, and
worldwide,
and it is yeah, and it's consider a pandemic. So it makes sense that it costs society as much.
Well, the WHO, you know, the World Health Organization and many other actual institutions
mm-hmm.
Have actually said this. And we'll go back to the European report that we were reading the definition from. But in Gallup, we'll put all the links and all that in the description, but in Gallup, they actually surveyed 142 countries worldwide. So this is a massive population
yeah.
of interviews, yeah. So of survey people. So this is the description, you know, the kind of the set of statistical differences. So 24% of the surveyed individuals, 24%, so a quarter of the world feels either very or fairly lonely. So they're on the extreme of being lonely.
Yeah.
27% feels a little lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that over 50% of the world is suffering in one degree or another about
loneliness.
With loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the freaking world, more than half of the world, is feeling lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massive, massive issue. So at the end of the day, this is something that is costing a lot of money to societies. It's costing a lot of issues health-wise to the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And we started
and it's costing a lot as a society, not money-wise, but in our mental
impact,
health, like
impact.
How society functions, because we need each other. We cannot function by ourselves in society. You can function by yourself, but in a small circle.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to, I don't know how to express it, but when you have to
go out there in the work life, for example,
yeah.
or
so, but you need society to be able to function. You cannot produce everything for yourself and get everything for yourself. That's really hard. So you need society to provide you with other things so you can have everything. And it's costing a lot, because society cannot function properly when half of population is feeling alone.
Yes, indeed. And I think we remember what that feels like. I mean,
yeah.
Going through that experience ourselves, and I think obviously when you go through a traumatic experience like the diagnosis of two children being, you know, autistic, and it's a shock. And then the funny thing about loneliness is that it really doesn't have to do a lot with your circumstances, but how you perceive them. Like, I remember, even though when we were actually experiencing kind of the same situation, I mean, we were married and, you know, parents to both of our children. And I remember, you know, some of those nights when I would, you know, came from work very late.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Eric is our first son. So Eric was awake at 1:30 a.m. or at 4:30 a.m., very early or very late at night. And, you know, I kept thinking to myself, oh, you know, my wife doesn't have it that hard because, you know, I'm coming back from work and she was at home all day. And now I'm coming from work and I have to deal with the kid. And I think it happened the same to you as the other way around. Even though we were having the same freaking experience, like, we found...
Our mind was focused on finding differences to set us apart. Like, and it makes me wonder because we have talked a lot about that. The high numbers that, like, couples, married couples, when they have children with any kind of disability, but most, like, with autism, they divorce a lot. And I was thinking about that right now when you were talking about this. It's like, because you feel alone even when you're married. And it's because you get in this mental state where you only focus in everything that sets you apart, or you're living the situation apart from other people, and your mind feeds itself just looking for things that makes you different in this situation. And it's true that we can live it differently because you were working outside, so you had to deal with that, but I was at home and I had to stay with the kid more hours, so I was tired from the situation. It was really hard to adapt to the diagnosis and all the changes that you plan when you have children. You don't plan on those kind of things being in your life, so now you have to adapt your mind and everything. And it's true that there are differences, but there are more things that we had in common
yes.
than the one that were different. But the only thing we could focus was all the differences, so that made us feel like really, really alone, even being married.
And it had to do a lot with the communication, right? Like, you know, we're trying to send a message to the other person. In this case, it was you. And even though we were experiencing the same situation,
mm-hmm.
even though with differential experiences, you know, and from our perception, but it was the same situation together. You know, when we communicated to each other our pains and problems, you know, we always felt like, no, she's not even freaking listening to me.
It was hitting a wall. It was like, I'm talking to you and you don't understand. You don't want to listen, or you don't get it because you're not living my situation. And it was like, and maybe the other person could understand, but we don't see it. And it's what the definition said. It's a subjective matter.
It's perception.
It is
perception.
It's our judgment of the situation.
Another thing that I remember is that, and you were saying this before as well, that now you can look back and see situations that we thought we were lonely as not being so lonely because we were supported. And one of the things that I remember is that we had a great circle of friends and people that were actually willing.
They were really worried about us.
And they were putting time and effort and love into helping us. But back then, we complained about not being helped, like being feeling alone, and then people were coming to us and we kind of rejected because you know, we felt isolated, and it's like we wanted to feel isolated so we could say people are not helping us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of great friends that, you know, would come over, and even though the problem was still there, I mean the circumstance was still there, they were actually trying to help. Like, they were participating actively.
Yeah, and even because they have the willingness to help, but sometimes they could do nothing because there is nothing you can do to fix it. Maybe they can bring their support or things like that. But they, what most of those people were bringing is the connection. They cannot fix the problem, but I can try to connect. You can feel you are not alone. You can feel you have somebody, and I cannot fix it. If I could, I would do it. I cannot fix it, but I'm here for anything else you need, I can do. But we didn't, we couldn't perceive that.
No, it's a, we were it's a cycle,
like,
right?
Yeah, so now I feel the connection from that time. I feel they were bringing connection, and if I think if I was capable of feeling, I would have felt way less lonely. But in that moment, I couldn't perceive. I was not able to connect with people because I was trapped in my own loneliness and this feeling of, but it's different. I'm different. I cannot be the same because I was focusing on all the things that other people could do that we cannot do, that maybe they did. And I was like, see, we cannot participate. They don't want us to participate because we cannot do it. But they were doing everything else, and we just couldn't connect because our mind was in the middle.
Yeah, no, it was isolated. We mm-hmm. we chose that isolation. It was perceived.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's painful when you're in that cycle of loneliness. It's really painful because you're yearning to connect with anything around you, mm-hmm. and it's not there.
I don't think for humans there is the possibility of not connecting and feeling fulfilled, because I think it's in our human nature.
Yeah, we're social. We're social creatures.
We always want to connect. So when you don't, you can't connect. You don't connect with people. You feel kind of empty, even if everything else is okay. I think you feel quite empty because you need that connection.
Indeed, yes, indeed. And yeah, we neglected the help of people that were trying to not make us feel isolated. Yeah. And it's funny enough. And I guess that takes, because thinking about this in depth, I realized that there are two paradoxes to loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the first paradox is, if you look at the numbers, you know, we're talking about 51% of the surveyed population worldwide feels lonely. And then, you know, we were looking at some numbers. It's like there was a total of more than 30 million people in Europe in this report that I was reading before. More than 30 million people go through this pain of feeling lonely at a certain level of intensity. So here's the first paradox. You're not alone in your loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half of the population of the world are with
feels
you.
Feels the same, exactly.
And I guess that's one way of always being connected, when you actually find somebody mm-hmm. that, in a sense, has gone through your experience. Like you were saying before, like when you find, like for example, with us was about the diagnostic of autism, and then straight away you're trying to what?
To find people, to find parents that are living the same situation, to try not only to get the support or maybe the information you need to go to the best doctors or the best therapy, but when you express yourself what you're going through, is like, you get me, right? And you can connect in that way. So the first thing you do when you feel in one way or you have one kind of a specific situation, you look for other people that are having the same thing. But with loneliness, no, you just set yourself apart from everyone, and you don't even consider some people around you can be feeling the same way.
Even when you're finding common grounds, like when you're finding groups of parents, right, that have gone through the same thing with autism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember our conversations early on in the groups. It's like, oh, you know, we're sharing this. Like, oh, my kid has woken up at 2 in the a.m. in the morning, and the other parents say, oh, yes, my kid this and my kid that. And then you're thinking, yeah, but my kid has this bigger issue. Exactly. Oh, no, no, but my son has this.
But our situation is different.
Worse. You know, it's worse.
Maybe the child doesn't, they only sleep 2 hours each. But in our situation, we don't have this, we don't have that, or maybe my job is harder, or maybe my wife has to do this and yours doesn't. So all the focus was you will have the same situation, but we are apart. We are not the same. And it is reality. We have different circumstances, but the truth is there are much more things that connect us than the things that takes us apart.
Yes, indeed. And but the epidemic of loneliness will you know, your ego always wants to set you apart. Like it wants to make you feel special. And we'll talk about the ego and the one of the powers of the ego about making us feel special in other episodes. But you know, it always find, and like we were discussing before, that it's about fit. You know, it tries to find things on the details, on the superficial details.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wants to find a blame, like I'm feeling lonely because somebody else is making me feel lonely. Like it's removing the responsibility, but also the power from us.
I think that's what happens in our brain. As soon as we feel something, you start looking for things that support that feeling. To tell yourself,
to justify it.
It's true. I feel like this because look at this. It's happening. You cannot tell me it's not true. And we get in that mindset of making the list and checking everything. See, I feel lonely because of this, because of that. Look what he did. Look what happened. This is the truth. And we just feed that kind of mindset.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first paradox of loneliness that I've been thinking about with this study. And then the second paradox is at the physical level. So obviously I'm not an expert in quantum physics, but one of the principles of quantum mechanics and quantum physics is that we are interconnected at the subatomic level. We cannot be separated, even though we're visually, by light ray perception, seeing ourselves separated right now. There is no empty space. We're actually interconnected with a massive infinite web of a subatomic particle. So we are connected. We cannot be separated. And there are a lot of principles that we can discuss in the podcast about how this happens, like, you know, quantum entanglement and how, what that means, and you know, how the information, the level of information that two particles share at the subatomic level in connection, it's incredible. So for me, those are the two paradoxes of loneliness.
Mm.
You know, you're not alone in your loneliness, because half of the world, or more than half of the world, feels lonely. Like you're probably feeling lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, it's not real, because we cannot be disconnected. We're a part of everything, you know, that is much bigger than us. So, but then it takes us to the point of, you know, what are the types of loneliness that you could feel, right? And in this article that we were reading, it talks about five types of loneliness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first one could be considered the existential loneliness, right? And I guess you can help us understand what that potentially means, right? But
when I read it the first time, it sounded like the first thing that I thought of was existential crisis, which is something that a lot of people talk about now. Like when we feel our own existence is at a risk just because we feel a certain way, you know? And in reading that, existential loneliness, it made me feel, or made me remember that phrase. It's like you just feel, I don't know how to describe it, but you just feel like empty. You feel like you cannot feed, or
No, that's how the European Institute of Positive Psychology defines it like that. It says that it makes reference to a sensation of emptiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's got nothing to do with despair in itself,
mm-hmm.
but it's more like an emptiness or frustration sensation you have.
Because I think it puts in danger in our minds our own existence. It's like, why do I exist? I cannot connect with anybody. I don't abhor anything to society. A lot of things that can come to your mind that I think are all related to feeling lonely. In this kind of loneliness feeling, where you just wonder,
yeah, what's my contribution?
What's my existence for? What am I here? What am I doing?
Yeah, it's like an empty. You feel like your contribution is empty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's funny because, and you know we were discussing before that one of the points is that it really comes back to yourself. You have to bring the responsibility back to yourself, and it's one of the 16 fundamental principles of neurolinguistic programming. In NLP, one of those is that you always have to think that you have 100% of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That for simply because finding blame outwards or outside yourself won't help you anywhere, because you're giving both responsibility but also the power and control of that circumstance. So it's about finding the point of, okay, I am 100% responsible for my own loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, I'm not taking away my power and responsibility and giving it somewhere else. So I now find a way of doing it myself. And we'll discuss about what that means on working with positive loneliness. No?
Yeah.
But the second, go ahead.
I was going to say that the second one was emotional loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I thought when I was reading about that, we have talked a lot of times about emotions and what they are or represent, or how can we use emotions for our advantage. So we were talking about emotions or feelings is just something that happens to make us aware of what is going on. And we were talking about that when you get temperature, no? And you feel like you take something.
You
no?
have a fever, right?
Yeah. So you take something for it because your temperature is high, you have a fever. But you always wonder, why do I have a fever? If you have a child, it's like, what is going on? I'm going to take him to the doctor because maybe he has an infection or something else is going on. The fever just doesn't come because. And feelings or emotions is the same. So when you feel lonely, we usually look for the situations that makes you say, it's true, I'm feeling lonely because of this. But I think one of the first things we have to do is go inside ourselves.
Look inwards, yeah?
Yeah, and say, what is going on with me? And it doesn't, I'm not saying you only do that, because it can happen, the situation that with people that are the most, the closest to you, those are the ones that you have
yes.
more problems. You can
you always blame me for everything.
Yeah,
we know.
Of course. But you can, your husband or your wife can
yes.
make you feel lonely, or your parents or your friends, people that are close
to
you,
yeah.
of mm-hmm. course. So it doesn't mean you are not going to talk about it with them, like this situation made me feel alone and things like that. But we cannot give the responsibility of fixing the situation only to the person. And it's good we talk about it, because it's good to have a relationship with people that understand you and wants the best for you. So they will do things that makes you feel more comfortable. But they cannot fix it for you. They can just only help you to make it easier in that journey of, I have to fix it myself.
But it's 100% your responsibility.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you can talk about the situation, but then you have to go inwards and you have to think, okay, why this situation made me feel
But don't
alone.
Jump ahead, because that's
don't
about positive. That's loneliness. But, it defines it, you know, the European Institute for Positive Psychology defines it as great attachment, social loneliness, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It comes from projecting great attachment or very high expectations
mm-hmm.
on results or
mm-hmm.
hopes, and then getting a feeling of emptiness out of those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny enough that it says that the kind of root cause of that, or not root cause, but some of those causalities are insecurities and lack of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, we need to go into the third type, you know, to resolve this. You know, we believe or strongly believe that this loneliness that will help you overcome the other loneliness is what is called positive loneliness. And that is the one that comes from that space of alone time that you want to find and put together so you can connect with yourself, right? So it's about finding that lonely time to really connect with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're able to connect with yourself, then you can kind of actually project outwards that connection into the world. And I love how you expressed it before, you know, how you, once you connect with yourself, then you know how to present yourself in society.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it's a lovely concept that you were mentioning before.
Yeah, because we were talking about that. I think one of the biggest problems, because if you ask people about their fears, a lot of people tell you they have the fear of being alone or feeling lonely. And I think in a great part that comes from the feeling that we don't like to be with ourselves. When you
the fear,
you feel lonely and then you are left with yourself. And maybe that's not that fun because when I'm with myself, most of the time, my mind just goes wild and starts regretting things or think about how about you do this or what is going on with you. So it's not fun. And I think that's one of the big problem, that we don't connect with ourselves. And it's really hard to connect to others when you don't connect to yourself. Because to connect with other people, you have to present yourself as you are.
And this is where the youth, you know, where young people, adolescents are suffering a lot.
Yeah, because in this article, we were saying, it was saying that the great part of the population that feels loneliness is adolescent people. And I was thinking about when you are adolescent, is the time that you wonder, how do you fit in society? Who am I? What are my the things that I'm good at or the things that I'm bad at, or how do I fit in this world? So when you feel like that, and you are not so sure about yourself or what is that you have to give to other people, it's really hard to present yourself to other people. So it's hard to connect, and that's why you can feel lonely, because first you have to learn to connect to yourself. And nowadays, I think it makes it harder, because we get the little time that we could have to ourselves, we fill it with other things. We will look to our phone, we will play a game or a video game or whatever we can do to not be left alone with our minds.
We find substitutes. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Like something that may seem like connection,
mm-hmm.
but it is not. Like, you know, instead of working in a meaningful relationship, we tend to try to find, and this is something that I talk about in my book also, the Nuclear Leader, which is also in a way projected into this in the business world,
mm-hmm.
the difference between connecting and networking,
mm-hmm.
right? And a lot of the people nowadays with social media, which is a great tool for reaching out, it's fantastic, but then if we use it as an escape method or as a fake way of feeling connected, then we still have that emptiness. And it's funny, because when you're presenting yourself into the social media world, you're actually creating an avatar to present yourself into the world. And it reminds me a little bit about the book A Knight in a Bright in a Shining Armor,
mm-hmm.
From I think it's Robert Fisher, but it's this guy that really creates a facade that he presents himself into the world, and he needs to peel that off to really feel connected with himself, to resolve it. So I guess in the grand scheme of things, you can actually find much more powerful connection when you do it rather than having 100 likes. Mm-hmm. To really find and to try to find a connect with 1, 2, 3 people that are, mm-hmm. around you, where you're emotionally attached, and then, you know, feel that power of connection. The other two types of loneliness that this article talks about from the Institute is that it talks about the temporary condition. So he says that you can have temporary loneliness
mm-hmm.
or chronic loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously everybody feels, you know, can actually feel every once in a while lonely by, you know, different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's with, you know, that feeling of loneliness is with you constantly,
yeah.
then it's something that we need to tackle together, right?
This is what we were talking about before. It can either be a feeling and that's temporary, or it can be like a mental state and it stays with you. And this is one thing that I was thinking about, loneliness. You either feel lonely and it goes and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, or it goes the other way where it gets smaller and smaller and it disappears. But you cannot feel one kind of lonely and stay like that. And it will always either grow or be smaller, but you cannot be stuck in the same kind of loneliness. So if we don't stop it, it will go more and more and more. And it will be really hard to get rid of those mental thoughts, because if you do it for a lot of years,
it's like going on the opposite way in an escalator.
Yeah.
Right. If you have to climb up, you know, mm-hmm. against current. But mm-hmm. if you stop, you're gonna go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's about always feeling. Well, that's fantastic. It's a good image of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, obviously, this is the first one that we're tackling a specific topic. But if you have questions or comments that you want to share, please, by all means, go into the channels and social media on YouTube and then add your comments, your questions, and we can answer them on the next episode. But we wanted to leave you with a couple of actions or, I guess, tips or tools that we can use. So I want to challenge you, and I'm going to put this on social media as well, but I want to challenge you to measure what is your level of own loneliness. So I'm going to send a couple of surveys from psychologists that you know, kind of measure what is our, within the spectrum, where are we in the loneliness spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on your results, or even if you already know or feel that you're lonely, you know, if you feel that you're lonely, please reach out to us on social media. Just, you know, put your comment and we can definitely talk about how we can help you. In that sense, if you feel that you're not feeling lonely, but you know somebody that you think is lonely, I guess the tip is go connect with that person. Please reach out, you know, ask them how they are, try to connect with them, share your story in your social media or social media so we can see the effects of connection versus loneliness. And just when you do the survey, you'll see that it will affect different types, like social or emotional loneliness. And
mm-hmm.
I want you to measure, because sometimes we're not fully aware of how we feel. So it's about introspectively measure that. So we'll put that on the social media. And I guess that's the topic that we're going to talk about. I guess one of the topics that we wanted to talk about in the next episode will be emotional communication. It's a concept that we've kind of developed. But I
think that that's a good skill to fight loneliness, because
mm-hmm.
we were talking about before about expectations in the emotional loneliness. And I think it comes a lot from not being able to communicate properly. So you expect somebody to do something or behave a certain way, and when it doesn't happen, you get that disconnection, so you start feeling lonely.
Most definitely.
So communicating and knowing how to communicate a healthy emotional level, I think is a great tool to fight loneliness.
Indeed. So remember to subscribe and connect, and we'll see you on the next episode where we'll talk about emotional communication. So thank you for being with us.
Bye.